We are the Lions.
You are listening to The Hours.
This is Frankie McQueen.
And you're listening to The Grind with Stacey Steele on Punk Radio Cast.
PunkRadioCast.com.
Holla.
That's right. You are tuned in to Volume 25 of The Grind. This is Chris coming at you, bringing you another jam-packed episode, volume, whatever you want to call it. Number 25 is another Calgary focus. We have three bands that Stacey Steele caught up with over the past couple weeks. Towards the end of the show, it's going to be about an hour and a half show this time. Not much different there from everything in the past, I guess. But towards the end of the show, we have an interview with a brand new punk band out of Calgary called The Hours. And a little bit before that, we're going to be talking to Stacey, talk to a couple of guys from a band called The Lions. Now, these guys have an interesting story. They are originally from Scotland, and then they found themselves in Calgary and formed a band. I won't tell you the whole story. There's lots of stuff for you guys to listen to. But I do have to say, I do enjoy how Stacey was able to use her across-the-pond language, the little idiosyncrasies of the British and Scottish language that you don't always hear in Canada. Also, quite interesting, the Lions have a lot to say about the music industry, the state of how it is. And if you're in a Calgary band, you might want to look out, because they're calling you out. There's a few bands that he drops that he kind of slags. But he's got his reasons, most definitely. And to start things off today on Volume 25 of The Grind, we are going to get into an interview with a band called Frankie McQueen, also out of Calgary. And before we get into that interview, here's a track by them. This is called Where You Wanna Go. And I'm the only one to take you where I've been. Follow me down through your dream to new reality, where I can roll and love is free.
Just slip away,
Hey, this is Stacey Steele on punkradiocast.com, and I'm in Calgary hanging out with Frankie McQueen, and I'm talking with...
Devin Forster.
Kelly O'Keefe.
Connor Ruth.
Scotty Charles.
And what do you guys do in the band?
I play guitar.
I play bass.
Connor plays drums. I play guitar and sing.
What did you decide on Frankie McQueen as a name for your band?
One of our actual favorite bands, Telly, they have a song called Frank McQueen, and it is a great, great song, so we thought, let's go with that. We like the name, and, you know, caught on.
That's all right.
Yeah.
And you all agreed with that?
Yeah.
Okay. What were some of the more ridiculous band names that you guys came up with before you came up with Frank McQueen?
Yeah, our first name was, we were called The Void, and just a pretty crappy band name. Basically, the idea was that we would change our name every show and see what stuck, and then we played Frankie McQueen the first time we played a show, and
right, first time,
and then we won the Battle of the Bands, and so everyone was saying, ah, it's Frankie McQueen, so that's who we are now.
The second show we played, we actually came out, and by the second show, the like, crowd was chanting Frankie McQueen, so we decided kind of had to keep it.
Yeah,
that's reason enough.
What's your favorite part about being in a band?
Honestly, as lame as this sounds, just putting whatever in my head out and writing it as music and doing anything I want with it, like, no boundaries at all, just doing whatever I want, you know?
Yeah, it's just fun, it's just what we do, it's all we know how to do, and we can think we can do it well, and it's the best thing to be playing for a bunch of people, right?
When did you guys form your band?
Well, we've been playing shows now live for, I guess, a year, last spring. Yeah, pretty much then was when we really started playing shows.
When you recorded your album yourselves, did you know that?
Yeah, we're doing it right now.
Yeah? How's that going for you?
It's going really good, actually. Connor is the man behind all the engineering and equipment, and it's going great.
You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's really good. We had a lady give us some money, so help us to do it. We thought instead of going to a recording studio and spend a lot of money, why not get the, you know, the equipment at home and just do it yourself? So it gives us a lot of freedom to experiment and a lot of, you know, time to not really rush into something and feel like you're putting too much stuff into, you know, nothing. You can just kind of relax and do it as it comes. It's good.
While living in Calgary, do you find that that went into your album at all? Do you take anything from the city that you're living in or people that you know at all and put that into your album or into your music at all?
I think, like, definitely as far as pre-being in a band, we would listen to certain bands, especially, you know, again, the name came from a band called Telly. And, I mean, seeing them, like a band that we actually thought was really good and actually knew them, that's definitely inspiration to go like, oh, I know this guy, I think they're great. Like, you can just do that, right? You can just be that guy that makes good music.
How do you think today's trends are with music, and how do you deal with that, the crap that's coming out?
Trends?
How do you guys deal with being in a band?
When you got Pussycat Dolls number one, you know, music's not too good right now, but I think it's just going to take a few couple really good bands to bring back, you know, what made rock and roll so good back in the day, right? We're not saying that we're that at all, but we just want to, you know, hope we catch a tide or something like that. It's just tough to break the barriers when everything's done by image and done by, you know, this Hollywood kind of idea.
It's got no soul, you know? There's nothing behind it, and there's no... I don't know, it feels like when I listen to it, there's no feeling. It's just like a certain mold that they're...
Manufacturing.
Yeah, just pushing out, and...
I think it's, in a way, like, the negativeness of it, that, like, it's manufactured, image, whatever, is that, I mean, people can download for free any music that's ever been made, right? So people can just get music all over the place for free. So I think that we've all been talking that it'd be great that people will start to want to see live music, right? You can get it anywhere, but you want to see it live and experience it. So we want to be a band that does that, right? You can listen to our music and like it, but live is where it's at. You're really going to experience it.
At the same time, with the negative side of the internet, there's a positive side in getting your music out there to fans that haven't heard you or fans that are listening to your music. How do you deal with the way that eventually record stores might possibly phase out and then eventually it'll all be computers and the internet? How do you feel about that in the next 5 years?
It's a catch-22. Like, it is what it is. We can't really go and change how the whole world's evolving, but the best thing we can do is kind of adapt to it. If that's the way the world's going to work, I don't think we like that, but I guess it's just the way it is, and hopefully there's still a way for musicians to make money off it. At the end of the day, we make our music and play our shows, so you know, if that's the way the industry is going, then we just have to adapt to that and go on from there. It's funny that as people start to obviously downloading and internet podcasts and things that are popular now, people are going back to listening to vinyl. I mean, lots of new record companies release things just on vinyl, so it's kind of turning around in a weird way. It's kind of coming full circle again.
Are you planning on releasing a vinyl at any time?
That would be pretty cool. Definitely be pretty cool. The idea that, I mean, like, cool artwork would come back into CD covers, and
you know?
Mm-hmm. It really makes you listen to the full album, you know?
I get, like, on the internet, you download a song and that's it, but I don't know, with good music, it's like, there's a whole album aspect to it that just takes you through it, and I don't know, I like that.
Yeah. You can express yourself way better, too. It's a massive portrait on there, too, right?
Right. So. Any plans to tour anytime in the fall or winter?
Yeah, actually, we just, we're playing a show this Friday with a band, and they asked us to come on tour. If it's happening by next year, for sure we're going to do that. Yeah. And that would be great.
May. 40-gun flagship is in there.
Usually pretty good. Yeah, they asked us to go on. Hopefully they said May.
Canada or the States?
Yeah.
East to West, yeah.
Or West to East, I guess. I think we're at a point now where we know what we want to do. We know our sound, our basic mold, and we're ready to do it. That's the next step.
How do you feel about not selling yourselves out, not going down that path in the future?
I think if we just let the music do the talking, then that's what we want to be anyways, so.
Good answer.
Are there any bands that you've always wanted to play with, or any bands, and also bands that you get your inspiration from your music?
Definitely I know that, personally I would love to, I mean, I think everyone's heard of now Priestess, the band Priestess from Canada. I think they would be a great band to play with.
What's your favorite song?
Favorite song by them? I don't know, man. Like
everything that you are.
It's great because they're a band that is great on record, but live it's totally different, a whole new experience. And so seeing that like about a year or two ago was like, oh wow, okay, well let's do that too, right?
I think we get our inspiration from everybody individually, you know what I mean? Like, we all got different stuff that we like. Sam Roberts, the Black Mountain, the Black Sabbath, you know what I mean?
I've been getting into, like, hip-hop and stuff now, too, and I don't know.
It just all comes together, we just make music, and we can't really change who you are or who you listen to. We just hope that it comes out as a good sound, and,
like, the things that you put in your music somehow come out in how you're doing, like, what you're doing. It's pretty cool.
Here's another tune from Frankie McQueen called Brown Light.
Yeah.
guys are pretty close to your fans, and as your fan base is continuing to grow, which I've noticed, and your band becomes better known, how do you plan on staying connected with your fans?
That's the beauty of MySpace, it's the beauty of the internet, you can stay connected to those kind of people. Yeah, I guess as you get bigger, you get more fans, it's probably harder to talk to a lot of them, but we got a good, you know, core group of people that we like, you know, always come to every show, so that's the beauty of the internet and MySpace, you can just do it all yourself, so.
I think it was great on, you know, the last show when our singer was gone, the whole mood of the show is that, like we're all in this together, you know? We talk to our fans, like, all right, here's the deal, here's what's happening. Like, we need you to be in on this with us. Like, yell for us, go wild, and they did, right? So we're all, we kind of want it to be a group mentality out there.
Yeah. And just going around, like, after a show, just meeting new people, you know, just saying, hey, I love talking to people out there.
People get excited?
Yeah.
What sort of advice do you have for a band when they're first starting out? How do you guys keep it together without failing or splitting up? What keeps your band together as a collective?
I almost think we should be reading somebody else's answers to that as we're just kind of starting out. I think you just have to be tight off stage too. You know,
you gotta make sure everybody's good with the decision you make, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
We gotta veto. If Sony doesn't like it, then it's not gonna happen.
Yeah.
How do you feel about being a fairly new band, getting out there in Calgary's market today?
I think Calgary's market is going the right way. You know, a lot of radio stations have come out and stepping up, and it's great, you know. One of the shows we played last week, a couple of DJs were at that show, and it had heavy radio support. And it makes a difference to know that somebody cares, and it's not just all about the money anymore. And I think Calgary's going to go places with their music, and the scene is starting to emerge, so I'm pretty excited about it.
Yeah, it's definitely cool to see, like, just in our... in our recent memory as far as being in the music and deciding that's what we want to do and be involved in, say like 2, 3, or 4 years ago, there really wasn't much going on. Like there was always mostly dance clubs and things in Calgary. Now there's a lot more live music. There's lots of clubs. Everyone wants a live band now. So that's what we want to do. We want to be a live band. Come see this live band. We're actually good, you know?
What other passions influence you musically besides being together in your band? What really drives your force? Personally, or being in the band?
Personally, I don't know, I wouldn't call it an obsession, but just the whole aspect of love and just how you can love everything and love someone and love playing music and just everything like that. I don't know, that really floats my boat. I don't know.
It's a pretty cool idea that, like, you can relate anything in your life going on and somehow turn it into music. Like, a lot of the songs, like, if I'm coming up with a riff or a song or something, I'm like, oh, I'll be in a certain mood or a feeling. I'm like, oh, yeah, what would I want to hear right now? Or what do I think this would sound like? I think that's a lot of how our songs come about. We're in a certain mood, we get a jam, and, like, we just go with it. And we're like, okay, what do you want this to feel like? What do you want to sing about? Yeah, I think music can kind of come from anything and everywhere. It's kind of weird.
You know, that's one of the things I like about music is whenever I've written a song or contributed to a song, and then later looking back, I can always remember what was going on while that song was being written, and it's really a cool feeling. It kind of takes it back, and it's awesome just to have that experience.
Yeah, that's the beauty. Music actually crosses all borders and all languages, right? It's a feeling that you get. You can kind of, you know, adapt to all that and, you know, play something that maybe people, you know, that speak French, you know, can't really understand it, but can feel it. That's all that matters.
Absolutely. When you're in a sound check, is it more work or more play do you find?
Definitely more play. We've actually, one of the songs we wrote as a sound check, we actually developed into a full-on song. That's where you want to go.
I think we find that, we'll be Scott, he'll start doing his guitar sound, and he'll just do a little riff, and then I'll come in and do something over it, and then all of a sudden we're just jamming to a sound check song, right? Like, that's the way we work. We just all play off each other so well.
Is it important to have a place to gather where you collectively jam together as well?
Oh, yeah,
totally.
Bring
your ideas to the table?
Yeah. Yeah, we have it right in the basement, the mom's basement, so we've been
that's where it all happens.
I know, we gotta have that mom that's down for loud music.
It's really nice. We have this studio set up in there, too, where we do all of our recording, so we can even, while we're working on something, we can turn the recording on, and then everything is recorded, and we can just remember what was played, and we don't have to worry about it.
Do you bounce ideas off each other all the time that way?
Absolutely. I think we might have one song that was individually written.
Which song was that?
Dawn of the Day.
And Devin came to the table with all the parts, but even that, we all worked together on it to put it together and get the structure of it.
Yeah, I mean, the beauty of this band is that we're all as important in the songwriting as anyone else, right? Like, maybe I'll come up with a riff, and then, you know, Connor will come up with the words, maybe, or, like, it's weird that everybody is as a part of writing as anyone else. It's pretty cool. It's not some person writing a song, you guys learn the parts, it's like, everyone does their own thing.
We're all in it together, I think.
That's what it's all about, you know? One guy's gonna write the song, three guys another. I mean, it's not gonna come from the heart from any of us, right?
It's so cool to have an idea for a song and have it in your head and then show it to the guys, and it's way better than you even thought it could be. That's the way we're going now. That's good.
What are your future plans coming up for Frankie McQueen?
Yeah, the tour at the end of the year, hopefully. Right now, just, I mean,
releasing the CD.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll release the CD, hopefully, in early December, something like that. I'm just going to keep plugging away at it, play as many shows as we can, get as many fans as we can do. Hopefully do this tour and, you know, just keep working at it.
We were thinking about, like, long-term going out to Vancouver, something like that. Seeing as a lot better there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I think that's a ways down. Yeah.
Do you want to throw out your MySpace or your webpage for the fans out there?
Yeah, myspace.com/Frankie McQueen.
Frankie with an I-E.
Frankie McQueen, yeah.
One more Frankie McQueen track to round out the interview. This one is called Nothing Gained. leading us into the interview with some transplanted Scotsmen. This is The Lions with Barstar.
And I'm in Calgary, hanging out with...
The Lions, Chris.
Darren.
Excellent. Let's start things off by stating your name and what you do in the band, even though you said your name.
So. I'm Chris, and I play guitar in the band.
I'm Darren, and I play guitar and I sing.
And why did you decide on the name The Lions for your band?
Because originally we were called Black Ocean, and we named ourselves after a pint of Guinness. And we thought it was stupid, so we decided to call ourselves The Lions. That's it. Took it from the Scottish flag.
You had your new debut album on Destitunes. You did a compilation, which will be released through Scotland, and you did a song with them in a compilation. What songs did you put on their album?
We got In the Long Run on there, which is off Sounds Familiar. We also got It's Not Love. They also picked She Looks Lonely, and they also picked Something to Do as well to go on their album, so we were quite happy about that. It was really good of them to pick us up. And then it'll be all across Scotland, so it's pretty exciting. Yeah.
That's awesome. Right. You're planning on touring Canada and Scotland next year?
Yeah, next year we're heading over to Toronto, and we're also going to be touring Windsor and Winnipeg as well. We've found that people like us more out there, and so we're gonna head out there. We're also going to head back home, and we're probably going to play with bands like The Law, Social Chameleons, Sargent, and probably The Brogues. And there's just the Scottish scene, like, we can usually get into it pretty good, so, I mean, we're from there, so they're like us and that, so.
What's to come with all of that?
Hopefully we'll be able to go back, and they won't kick us out, that's what's to come. I mean, hopefully the plan is that we can go over there, they'll like us and stuff, we can play again, and then maybe we can go back and play a gig to about 200 people. And the plan is to eventually start booking gigs all around, so then we'll try England, then we'll try, you know, even Japan. Well, that's a bunch of, you know what I mean, though. But you know what I'm saying, that's the plan, to be touring everywhere, and to be that band that can play a crowd to anybody.
Right.
That's what we want to be able to do, that's our goal.
Right.
Our goal.
Would you be able to tell us a little bit about your album?
Yeah, go ahead. You tell them, Donnie. Tell them about the album.
First album was, it was great. We recorded the first album at Music Center Canada where Brad, what's his last name there?
Taylor.
Brad Taylor. He did a good job. We did it in
15 hours.
Took no time at all.
Because he just set all the mics up and stuff, and we knew a lot of our songs, so we just played them. And, it went really smoothly. We just showed up, we set all the stuff up, went in, played the songs, and he says, oh, it's gonna take you guys, like, you know, 2 hours to do the drums and 2 hours to do the bass and everything. We're like, no, we've played these songs forever, we'll get it done. So what happened was we were getting the drums laid down in a couple hours, and then got the bass done, and then he's like, you guys wanna do rhythm? Got the rhythm guitar done, got the lead guitar done. Then after we got all that stuff done, we came back the next day, did the vocals, that was album done, mixed it, and he mixed it, like, we're not technologically advanced by any means. We're pretty stupid when it comes to that. So he mixed it for us, sent it off, got it mastered, and that was it. It's done. It's golden.
What were your ambitions when you set out to write the album?
Not to be like an art student, to tell you the truth. I mean, when we were writing, I didn't have any ambitions or anything. What I mean is, like, I just wrote about stuff that I knew about, right? So in the long run,
your material from before, from a few years ago,
a lot of it was from when I was a kid, and then some of the songs were new. Like, I never put any of the lyrics or stuff in the album, but all the stuff that I'm writing about is stuff that's happened to us or to me personally, and we just go with that rather than trying to be like, oh, how could we be creative, and we just write about what we know and we talk about what we know. We don't try and be something that we're not, and that's what it comes with. Like, come on's about, hey, come on, let's have it, and yeah is about, you know, shitting on company. I mean, that's what it's about. It's about all these people that kiss up to the boss and they're like, oh, look at us, we're great because we're ass workers, and they're not. And we just write about, I mean, anything. Everybody knows we're not Radiohead or something. We're not clever people. No. You know.
How do you find your fans differ from, say, Europe and England, Scotland, to Canadian American fans?
I don't think we have any in Scotland yet. Well, I mean, we do actually. Do you know what? The truth is, the thing that's helped us out the most is probably MySpace. It's all this internet stuff, right? We went on the MySpace, and a lot of the Scottish people, they're into it, but over here in Canada, they're also into it too. It's just, I think, nothing we're doing is incredibly original or spectacular, but it is rock music and it is rock and roll, and I think to a lot of people that means a lot more than this sort of new indie stuff, basically, is what we're trying to say. Like, I mean, everybody's trying to impress everybody with how good they are, and we're doing, and how different they are, and we know we're not different, and we don't care that we're not different. I could list the bands: Brian Jonestown Massacre, Black Rebel Motorcycle Club, Black Angels, Black Keys, all them bands, Oasis, you know, like The Verve, all those bands are the bands that mean something to us. And that's the bands that we like to sound like. We're not going to try and, you know, reinvent the wheel or something. We're not able to do it.
Do you draw your inspiration from those bands that you just mentioned a lot?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. When I listen to all those bands, like, it's usually how all the songs get written. I mean, when I first heard Morning Glory by Oasis, I was like, oh, that's how it should sound. Not the album, the song. The song Morning Glory. You know, it's so fucking nice. Because everybody knows it for Wonderwall. And that's a terrible song. And, well, that's what I think anyways, but what do I know? But it's really good, and so for us, we thought that we would just play Morning Glory and songs like that and be a rock band. So I got my guitar, we met him, and we just decided to be in a band, and that was it.
That's all right.
Kept going.
Once you're done writing and recording, where do you find your inspiration for the new songs and creating new sounds? Do you try to differentiate your sound from album to album or song to song?
Yeah, from song to song we do. I don't like to have a bunch of... You'll notice even on Sounds Familiar, I think personally that every single song on that album is different from the other one. Like, in the long run,
the Good Sound Girl.
No. I mean, if you listen to Good Sound Girl for me, I'm a huge Hendrix fan. For me, like, I try, so don't, you know, I'll try and play like Jimi Hendrix on a 7-string guitar, and I'll try and double up on the bass lines with Alex and double up with the rhythm. And that's what the approach that we take. And then we want the melodies to be like like the Beatles or Stone Roses or Oasis or something, so that people can sing along with this music that's just like psychedelic and out there. But then you'll take another track like She Looks Lonely off the album, and that's your typical sort of indie rock where, you know, Jet stole from Iggy Pop and the whole thing goes on and on and on, and that's that typical song, right? And then Come On, I think, is probably the only really original song on the album, because it's got all them drums in it. It's, you know, it's, yeah, there's probably a name for it, but we don't know it. It's Scottish drums, you know what I mean? It's like tap, 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 rudiments, here we go. And that's probably one of our original songs in there. But yeah, song to song, we try and differ, try and vary on. I think our next album is going to be a lot heavier, and but it's still going to be melodic. So we do try and make each song different as far as album to album. No, I don't. Well, maybe we will, but who knows? I don't know.
Slowly, as the world spins around, your head hits the ground. Why are you so down? Could you stand it if you were so lonely? Fixing the ghost scene, go big and slowly, as the world.
Rock and Roll Lounge, available on MySpace. This was The Lions in the Dark.
Do you draw from political things, the environment, things that are going on in the world today? Do you draw inspiration from that with your music, or sing about that? Or do you sing about losing the girl, getting the girl?
Oh, I know. None of them are losing it, if you listen. I'm just none of them are losing the girl. But at the same time, as far as politics goes, in a band, for me, we're not a punk rock band, we're just a rock band. I mean, and if you want to talk about that, you should be a punk band. And that's actually what pisses me off about a lot of punk bands. They're pop punk, and that's not, either you're the fucking Sex Pistols, or you're not. And either
you're
doing
your definition of punk music.
Sex Pistols. Yeah. That's my definition of punk. or Ramones as well, right? Sure. Which is kind of poppy. So, I mean, for us, that's the. If you listen to those bands, those are the bands that are
got something to say. Do you all find inspiration from when you play? Like your roots from that music that you've heard when you were younger.
From younger?
Yeah. Things that you draw from that you think, I want to do that.
A lot of the Beatles, actually, because it was the Beatles, like, his moment, yeah.
Beatles and everything, man.
Like, me and him would listen to the Beatles growing up. Like, we didn't grow up together, but, I mean, his mum and dad played the Beatles. My mum and dad played the Beatles. It was all the Beatles and the Stones. That's all we ever listened to. But yeah, no, sorry, I'm not trying to back out or nothing. I'm just saying politically, I don't think we know. I don't even know about politics. I'm not that kind. I am not the guy. I'm not raging as a machine. I mean, if you want politics, talk to, you know, political scientists. Like, one of those guys, they all got degrees in it. We don't know. We're not that into it, you know what I mean?
What do you think is right and wrong in music today?
What I think is right and wrong?
Yeah.
There's lots of wrong. So let's start with that. I think all these bands are just fake bullshit posers. And I think all they care about is looking cool and looking trendy. You take the fucking art school scene right now, and all they do is they wear the tight jeans, they wear the scarves, and their Converse shoes, and they show up and they pose. They don't care about music. They got no soul. They don't even know what it's about. They just show up to look cool and laugh with their friends and be like, ha ha ha, we're getting drunk tonight. They don't know what fucking any classic album was about. You know what I mean? It's just bullshit. They think that fucking punk music is Sum 41, and it's fucking disgusting. I mean, like, I really do get mad about it, because it's like, they don't know what they're talking about. They couldn't list any bands. I could go off on a tangent about, it's like people say, I listen to everything, right? They don't know what everything is. It's like, okay, have you got the West Montgomery album? Have you got Keith Jarrett's? Have you got Charlie Christian? No, okay, that's jazz. Well, that's some jazz, right? And then I could say, what, you want blues? Okay, right. And they fucking think, you know, that it's like blues is something on CJ92. And it's not. Blues is, you know, Albert King, B.B. King. And then you got that rock blues, the British blues that spawned from that, right? Which influenced guys like SRV, like all those guys like Page and Clapton and Beck, they influenced SRV. Okay, those are the people that count, that matter, that made important albums. When Oasis came out with their first album, definitely, maybe, they had a social statement to make. They didn't give a fuck if somebody was like, oh, well, we really like your tunes because they're catchy. If you listen to a song like Cigarettes and Alcohol, the line is it my imagination? I have finally found something worth living for. It's a crazy situation. All I need is cigarettes and alcohol. Roll with it. You got to roll with it. Take your time. Say what you say. Don't let anybody get in your way. Those were bands that said something and meant something. Bands like Blur, I couldn't give a shit about. It's like, woohoo, and that's all they've got to say. I don't care, you can quote me on that.
Oh, that's totally how you say what you want to feel.
You know, that's how I feel. I think music right now is in a terrible state because we have all these posers and we have all these people who are in positions of power that don't care about anything real. Because let me tell you something right now, my band will never get signed, will never be famous, will never be heard about, simply because we don't subscribe to that fucking school of thought where we should all be like, oh yeah, I really like your club and I really like your band, you guys are good. I met bands and I've told them their shit. Why? Because they are. The bands that are good in Calgary, and you can list this, Mad Cowboys, they're about something. Snake Mountain, they're fucking awesome as well. I like our band. I think we're all right.
Yeah,
today. we try, you know. Those are bands that, like, if you sat down and talked with them, they got some very cool things to say. And they believe in what they're saying. And I respect bands like that. Not ones that are out to look cool, like fucking lions, tigers, and bears. They suck. I mean, they're just about solid gold. This is the greatest song in the world, and it wasn't. It was terrible, and it wasn't even that catchy or that poppy. And they just, I don't know. They're all these sellout bands, right? They don't talk about anything. I should probably.
How do you feel when people throw the word sellout around?
I think they don't know what they're talking about half the time. If a band gets signed,
what do you define as selling out?
Okay, this is selling out. If you're a band, like look at the White Stripes, okay? They were one of these indie bands and they were doing their thing. They got signed to a major label. Fair enough. Like, nobody's going to come up to me and say, look, I'm going to offer you $15 million to sign to my label and you're set for life. I mean, I don't know how it happens. Like, you can tell I'm ill-informed or whatever. We're not Radiohead. We're not that smart, right? But my point is that nobody's not going to turn that down. Selling out is when you start singing on a Pepsi ad or a Coke ad, or you start promoting beauty products like palm olive oil or whatever. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, why the fuck do bands feel that they need to sing on a Pepsi ad or a Coke ad or something like that. But I don't know. Anyways, I think that's selling out. It's when you start going in for the ads and you start making it more about the money rather than the music.
Than the art.
Yeah.
Of music.
I mean, and that's what it comes down to. Because you'll find that there are a lot more independent bands throughout the internet, or even fucking Calgary alone. Calgary alone has some great bands, and it's unfortunate that it was, oh, Calgary music scene sucks, blah, blah, blah. Nobody comes out. Nobody checks out the shows. Nobody knows what's going on. They don't... I go out and see bands all the time. I could list bands and say, I like this band, I like this band. Like, if you want to see a good ska band, it's all girls, actually. Hats and black ties. And they're fucking awesome. And they're just fucking five girls, right? And, well, actually, they got a new bass player in that. And they're a really good band. As I said before, Mad Cowboys. Snake Mountain. Fast Romantics are a good band. We've hung out with them. They're nice lads
fantastic.
As well.
I
yeah, they're really, really good. And they're good people, too. And that comes... ex-boyfriends, I like them as well. They're good. Like, those are the bands that have fucking got something going for them. You know, and they're not here to be the snobs of the music scene. And, hey, we can't play with you because we're too cool. You know, they're just here to have a good laugh and have fun. You know?
Personal groupie opinion? The Lions rock. Groupie opinion. Groupie.
Being on tour, have you gone on tour yet this year?
No. Me and the wife were, she's going out to BC, so I'm probably going to gig about, me and Darren are probably going to do a few acoustic sets and try and get to know some other bands, see if they want to play with us, see if they like it. Then we're going to do the BC thing. We've heard a lot about Vancouver, and I mean, everybody's going, shut up or whatever, but from bands that have played in Vancouver, it's not that great of a scene. Basically, if you do better than a band in Vancouver, then they don't want to play with you again. And if you're not kissing everybody's ass, then you ain't getting into the scene. Best places to go, from what I've heard and seen, is Montreal and Toronto. I went to Toronto in a weekend. I ran into Noel Gallagher, okay. Leonard Cohen's son, that guy from, what's his name, from Much Music, Rainbow. Rainbow took us on his television program. We were sitting there clapping on a TV. Like, we ran into more people in Toronto than we did in any other time, and that was just a piss up. That was just a weekend off to go drinking. So we think we're probably going to head out Montreal, Toronto. We feel that's good, but Calgary's got just as good a scene, and with the emergence of all these new radio stations, they're pushing it too, which is great. But CJSW has been the people that have been around, you know, for the longest time and supporting it, and it's just good to see that now these. You know, these bigger people are trying to help out and give local bands money the chance to record their albums and go on tour. That's
okay. You're fairly close to your fans, do you think?
I think so. I think I know all of them. I know this guy. You know, I mean, I know, like, yeah. I mean, our fans.
There's always one. I swear, every interview I do, there's always one that has to be in the interview.
Yeah. There you go. Surname.
You know what? Honestly, I'd be here whether there was an interview or not.
What's your name?
He's, yeah. Just call me Paulie McLagenbroken. And the Lions fucking rule. I mean, freaking rule.
There you go.
That's the soundbite you can use.
How do you plan to stay more connected with your fans as things go further into your future?
I don't know. Probably the ones that come out to the shows are always the ones that we're always talking. Like, people that stay till about 2 in the morning. Me and Darren are here all the time. And Alex is usually here as well. And Liz and I. We're always here. Till about 2 in the morning, and we hang out with everybody, and I always chat with everybody, and I don't think...
A lot of bands don't do that. A lot of bands won't hang around. They'll play their set, stay for 10 minutes, pack up, and they're out of there.
And they're like, oh, they're just kind of too cool to do it. I mean, even at a local level, like, look at Bernard Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
I'll slag him off. I don't like him. His music's shit, and he's shit. I mean, he comes out to these gigs, and he plays these gigs, right? And all the music people that know him know that he screws all his band musicians over. If he ever plays a gig, you'll notice every gig he plays is with different sets of people, and it's never with the same people. And one of the girls from another radio station, which will remain unnamed for now, because I don't want to get her into anything, but she was like, well, how come they always play with different people? And I told her, well, he doesn't pay anybody. He gets the shows for free. We're working with some people right now. We've worked with him. And he fucked them over. He just... And that's the thing. A lot of these bands just... Our point is that these bands just think they're sort of too cool to talk to everybody and too cool to hang out with them. And then when people show up to their gigs, they feel it's expected. We call everybody and tell them, hey, come out to the show. And they do come. And they come more and more and more. And that's why every... And they bring more and more people because we're not dickheads. I mean...
Yeah,
well... No, but do you know what I mean? Like, seriously, if somebody said, let's go have a drink, I'll be like, yeah, let's go. Like, I met this one girl last week. We played at the Stetson. She came up to
me.
She, yeah. She came up to me, and it was one of the coolest things she said to me. Me and my boyfriend met at your show. And I was just like, that's good. That's really, that's like one of the coolest things I've ever heard. And then she bought the CD and showed it to him, and he was like, oh, they're all right. I think he liked us. He liked me and Darren, and he likes our music, I think, too. And he came up to the show, and we just drank with him all night, and we all hung out together. And that's, I think, we're not, how me and the other bands always say this is we're not rock stars. Like, we're just...
regular blokes.
Yeah, you know, that's us.
Rome by the Lions on the Grind on punkradiocast.com.
Chewing on that bone, you don't know me, man. I took a dose of something I never spilled. Found it down by the road where I saw I'd been killed. Now I'm silent like stone as I roll the unknown. So you don't know me, man. How many times must I push you away? How many times will you ask me to stay? And you tell me
when you're growing old, you get so tired and cold. I think I'm growing up, and I just don't think I can take you anymore. Is something I never spilled. Found it down by the road where a soul I've been killed. Now I'm silent like stone as I roam the unknown. Still you don't know me, man.
How many times must I push you away? How many times will you ask me to stay? And you tell me
when you're growing old, you get so tired and cold. I think I'm growing up, and I just don't think I can take it anymore.
Influence you musically?
Musically?
Yeah.
About music?
Yeah.
Just the fact that so many people don't seem to care about it, and it's unfortunate. I mean,
a lot of people do, though.
No, don't get me wrong. It's a lot of people do, and the people that do are the people that come out to the shows and stuff. But I mean, when you've got these CJ92 radio stations, they'll They don't care about local music.
Mainstream
radio. You usually doesn't care about independent.
We're not mainstream at all. So.
Oh, I know. No, I've seen it. I've seen the punk radio. I know your website. And it's great, you know, like that's how it should be. It should be about
being real to the people.
Yeah, I don't want to sound like an idiot, but you know, it's about a community of people that enjoy the music and that are into it, and I don't know, you know, like it's about the music, and it's not about anything else other than that. It's not about being the guy who can drink the moon's the biggest rock star, the biggest thing. And I'm gonna get slapped by everybody for saying this, but it's true. And it's about the music. And it's not about how cool you are. And that's the thing, like, we show up in suits and we get slagged off for it, and I don't really care, because we're working people. When we go to work, we show up in ripped jeans, ripped Carhartts, work boots that stink worse than a pile of shit, usually. And we're working from 7 o'clock in the morning till about 5 o'clock at night, every day. Push, 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 go, go, go. And we are working people. So when we see all these fake posers who fucking bought a pair of Tommy Hilfiger jeans to try and fit in, rip the hole in it themselves to be like, oh, we're rock and roll, and then they're slagging me off because I wear a suit, it's like, fuck you. It's like, we are a real rock and roll band, we have something to talk about, and I ain't gonna fucking listen to you. That's my honest to God point. Like, a lot of these bands show up and they'll be like, oh, let's just do this, let's just do that, and I got no problem with it. Wear whatever you want, it's not the point. Don't come up to me and tell me I'm some rich kid, because I live down on 17th Avenue and I'll fucking show you. And it's you know, bounce around with the fucking crackheads in the back alley and go and talk to them. They don't know us, they don't know anything about us. And the people who do know us know what we're about and know why we're, because me and him hate showing up with fucking mud and shit all over us and looking all stinky and smelly. And you know, we look like that all day, you know, so we want to put suits on and look half-ass respectable.
What else do you want to accomplish in your career with the Lions?
With the Lions? I want to be able...
What do you want to do eventually?
Be able to play... The biggest thing for us is to be able to be like Black Rebel Motorcycle Club or the Brian Jonestown Massacre, and be able to play to a crowd of 200 people anywhere around the world. Like, ultimately, you know what I mean? Like, if we flew into Scotland, say there's only two cities that wanted us, say Dundee, Glasgow, we went in there, played two, we were only there for 2 weeks or whatever, we played two shows, and then we hopped down to England, hop over to France, hop over to Germany, hop over to Japan, you know what I'm saying? And be able to support ourselves as a living and play to those 200-300 people crowds around the world. Ultimately, will it happen? Not unless we get support from a label. I mean, we're paying for everything ourselves, you know, and it's just got to the point where we can't pay for everything anymore. I mean, I could honestly... I mean, me and him write songs all the time. We'd have an album out about every 6 months. About every 6 months, we'd easily have an album out. And, like, I'd say with pretty decent stuff, too. You know? But we don't have the money to record it. And we can't record it ourselves, because we're idiots. So...
Technologically retarded.
Yeah. Or impaired, I suppose we should say, to be nice to everybody. Politically correct. Right?
I'm sorry.
Technologically impaired, yeah.
It's important for you to have a space to jam at, a place to collectively gather together as a band?
Yeah. Because we rarely get to practice, and I think that's another thing. Like, with our shows, I mean, we'll practice for it once, twice a month. And then, I mean, there was when we were first starting out, everybody was so, like, because we're all working, right? Even Liz is in construction, do you know what I mean? A lot of people don't know that either. Alex is a Sparky, I'm a Sparky, Darren's a Glazer. Liz does that sort of management shit in construction and deals with assholes like me and him all day. And,
we all have day jobs.
Yeah, exactly, right? And I think, you know, to tell you the truth, I quit mine for the last 2 months just to do my band. And I'll probably have to go back here because I'm getting in a lot of debt. But
what keeps you grounded being in your band? Is it having a day job and then having the band in the evenings?
Oh, yeah, we're not famous. I mean, we're nothing important or special. That's what keeps us grounded. We know we suck. That's why we're here.
I don't
know. You know? You know? But we like what we do, and we believe, you know, in all the songs that we're writing. And maybe I will put the lyrics in it so people can see what we are talking about, because I've been told, where's the lyrics? And for me, I'm not a lyrics person, I'm a music person, because my opinion used to be, was that if lyrics were so important, then they'd have, you know, spoken word, sold out stadiums, and not music shows, right? But I started realizing that lyrics are pretty important too, because everybody keeps asking me about them. And we used to just start, na 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 na, you know, but now it's like, well, see, that's a perfect example. And see, that's the thing that a lot of the radios will play, because it's catchy,
and the kids will dig it,
you know? And it's like, hey, put this on, let the kids dig, man, you know? And it'll
be,
yeah.
At least one catchy tune on your album.
I know, and, oh, sorry.
That's right.
And what they do is they'll put it on and they'll be like, so this is the truth behind Yeah, Yeah, Yeah. Yeah, Yeah, Yeah was the sound check song. And what happened was they, me and him were just dicking around with sort of some sort of 12-bar blues kind of stuff. And because I'm always like, yeah, 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 and Darren's like, yeah, it's you. You know, he's a singer, right? He's got the voice. He's the voice. I'll admit that.
That's it. Yeah.
And, so I'd go, yeah, and he'd go, yeah, and it was our sound check song.
Yeah.
And then we'd, yeah, yeah, yeah. You'll notice we go, yeah, yeah, at the same time. So anyways, then people started liking it and turned it into a song. So then one day I was in a portable can, and I liked the line. There's some guy who wrote, and he's like, when they make a dollar, I make a dime, that's where it's shit on company time. I was like, well, isn't that the truth? Because all these companies are profiting so much off these people. Now, I'm not a union guy, and I'm not really, I don't know, I don't want to get into it, but the point is that it's true, man. These guys are making, they're billing guys out for 100 to 120 bucks an hour, and other guys are only seeing 30. And at the same time, that's a fair wage. The 30 bucks an hour is a brilliant wage. And even when you're starting out, what you make, like 18 an hour now. First years are making 18 bucks an hour. It's crazy money. But the point is, man, is they are billing you out at such a high rate, and they don't care, because they'll find somebody else to do the job anyways. And that's how there's such shoddy workmanship in Calgary right now. It's because you can just find anybody, right? To sort of do it, and they don't care. It's like, get it done, get it done, get it done. And now the market's in a bit of a slump.
Time for some fun question and answering period. Sound good with you?
Yes.
Best place to party in Calgary?
Best place to party in Calgary, my house.
Dog and Duck.
Yeah.
The Dog and Duck. Yes, you have a food. Yeah, a menu named after you, is that correct?
Yeah.
After the band or after?
After the band, yeah, after the band. We got a thing called Chip Buddies. Pretty much poutine with curry sauce, but. Yeah, they put that Chip Buddies by the Lions on there. That's
it's like a very small font, but
yeah.
But they did put our name on it.
That's probably one of Calgary's best little pubs.
And but we don't tell anybody because it's our pub and we like going there. We don't want it getting overpopulated. But no, yeah, John's pretty good about it. He'll always.
Have you ever been thrown out of a hotel?
No, but I've been thrown out of every bar in Calgary at one point or another for something. I've asked him, he's been there.
So you have to have one of these instruments in your band, what would it be, a tuba or a trombone?
What's the difference?
trombone,
because I like the way it slides, and tuba's the da-da-da-da-da. So I'd say, yeah, it's sexual, shut up. I'm going to say trombone, because we've got a gig coming up where we're going to get some horn players, and there's a girl we know who plays trombone, so that's for you. There you go.
What's your best hangover remedy?
Honestly, a big greasy breakfast, man. I'll wake up and I'll
good fry up.
Oh yeah, good. There you go, there good you fry know. Up. Good fry up, and bacon and eggs, and you know what black pudding is. I just think it's disgusting. Do you know what black
best
pudding is?
In the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't you explain what black pudding is, man?
Right. Pig's blood mixed with oats in the wheat. Nothing gets you over a hangover like black pudding.
Oh yeah. Definitely not for the faint of heart.
Yeah.
Have you ever been Pencho playing on stage?
No. Thank God I haven't.
No,
hopefully I never will. No, it'd be terrible.
What's the most, embarrassing song or artist that you have in your CD collection?
That I have in my CD collection?
Your closet love.
Well, I don't have any because I'm perfect. I can't tell you that because then it'll just be even worse.
Okay, if you were to sing one cover song to save your life, what would it be and where would you be playing it at?
What country am I in?
Yeah, anywhere you want. Where would you be playing it and what cover song would it be to save your life?
To save my life?
Yeah, I've heard many wonderful different kinds of songs.
Why Can't We Be Friends? I'd probably sing that to save my life. We be friends, why can't we be friends? Why can't we? And I'd learn the song before I had to do it because I can't remember it. But that's the song I'd sing to save my life. Before they shot me. Why can't we be friends? You know? That would be it. What was yours?
I don't really have one. I'll die in silence.
Is there any other news from the Lions that you'd like to shout out to your fans?
We got a new EP coming out.
Yeah, we got a new EP coming out.
Yeah.
It's got Screaming Gun, In the Dark, Bar Star, an acoustic version of Rome, one of the second song we played tonight, actually. It's really pro done. Screaming Gun has about 100 guitars on it.
At least.
There's about 100 tracks on the album, and we're just waiting to get it mastered by this guy in Vancouver here. He's done all the bands we hate, like Sum 41 and Theory of a Dead Man and stuff, but he does a really good job, and he said that he'd do it for us, so he's mastering it, and we really can't wait to hear it. The guy that mixed it, we should probably say Brad Taylor as well, he did a lot of the stuff on it. He works at that place. And he's on it, man. If you need something recorded, I'd get him to do it.
Do you want to throw out your MySpace and website out to your fans?
It's myspace.com/TheLionsRockBand. And then our EP will be released in September. And you can get that from www.thelions.ca. And that's our two main ones. There's a bunch of other ones, like on Pure Volume and stuff as well. Purevolume.com/TheLions.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for sitting around and talking to Punk Radio Cast this evening.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having us, actually.
Oh, for sure.
And taking us into the final interview on Volume 25, another Calgary special with Stacey Steele. This is the intro track off of The Hour's brand new, yet to be titled, EP.
On punkradiocast.com, and I'm in Calgary at the Stetson hanging out with The Hours, and I'm speaking with...
I'm Jeebs.
Mike.
Tom.
And what do you do in the band?
Play lead guitar.
And drums.
Guitar and sing.
Excellent. So I believe you guys have been a band for over 4 years, is that correct?
Yeah, we've been playing for that long. Jeebs is new to the band.
How new are you?
No, 4 months maybe? It was
4 or 6 months, yeah.
It's kind of like, I just decided to temporarily, fill in because their last guy left, so...
What kind of influence do you bring to The Hours?
I don't know.
Bring your charisma, your character.
What do you think a new element, a new person brings to the band as a new element?
Well, that just brings a whole different style. Yeah, he has his own, I guess, development for more lead role, lead guitar. So he definitely brings in his own style of lead guitar than our other guitarists did, so it's pretty good.
How did you guys all meet?
Mike and I met in high school. Moose was not here, we met in high school as well. And then Moose and I played music together just for fun in high school, and then just after we got out of high school, Mike and I started a band, and we got Moose to play, and then just went from there.
How many different name changes did you go through before you became The Hours?
Three or four. Side Up, and then Finest Hour, and then something else. We went straight from the Finest Hour to The Hours, pretty much. It's because we were playing with the Finest Hour for a while, and then we found out there's another band called the Finest Hour in the States, and so we didn't want to stray too far from that, because we'd already kind of, got our name out there, so we just changed it to The Hours. And then I named the Side Up before. We saw it on the box. And we were having the hardest time trying to come up with a name for that. But then we thought it was too pop punk, because we were pretty pop punk back when we were just out of high school.
Are you still pop punk?
Not really.
No, that's good. What genre do you think you are now?
Alternative rock.
Alternative punk?
I still think it's pop punk.
You still think it's pop punk?
I don't think so.
But he's the new one, so it doesn't really matter as much, right?
That's cool.
Tell us about how your recording went. I understand you spent 5 days recording your first EP with Casey Lewis at Echobees in Calgary.
Sure.
Can you tell us about that?
It's pretty awesome. Casey's an awesome guy. Very helpful, very knowledgeable, and we're pretty good.
Very regular as well.
Very regular.
Strictly business with him.
Strictly business with him. It's pretty straightforward.
Yeah,
but he's also a super nice guy. So we're back. It went really well.
I like Star Wars, and that's cool.
I like Star Wars. I like a bunch of Star Wars books. Got to read those on our off time.
What did you what did you learn from being in the studio? What kinds of things did he teach you, or what kinds of things did you learn while recording?
A lot of stuff, I guess. I don't know. Timing, and he was really helpful with a lot of stuff, like a lot of like vocal harmonies. He helped us cook up, and he, you know, a lot of, he really pushed us, which was really cool. He pushed us because, like, knowing that we had it inside us, it was really cool.
Yeah. I gotta say, like, one thing I noticed about Casey was how good he was at like understanding song structure. Like, really, he was really analytical about it. Like, he knew how to put songs together and like take what you're good at and try to kind of. Well, like, he pushed us, but he knew how good we were, like, our skill level before. Like, he already picked up on that, I think, and so he made us play the best we could, I think, but didn't like expect more than we could give, I guess. But I'm not saying it's a bad record or anything, but he was really helpful. Like, he's good.
You know, be like face melting solos, like, you know, every bridge we did, ever. But
it was fun working with him.
He was patient, extremely patient. That was good too.
Did you get it all done within 5 days?
Sure did. Yeah.
Do you have a name for your new album that's going to be coming out? Or?
Not yet. We're throwing a couple names around, I guess. Still not sure.
When do you think it might be released?
Hoping for middle of October. Yeah.
Mid October 2008.
Yeah. Music's all done. The record's done. Just gotta get the layout and the artwork and all that stuff.
What's your favorite part about being in a band?
It's like an escape from reality, I guess, from playing music, like from working or going to school. Kind of just, you go, you know, four guys to get together, and it's a completely different atmosphere. It's you're building music together and creating creative songs.
The fame. The fortune.
I'm just kidding. I don't know, it's just, play music's like, for me, I've been playing music for quite a while, and I've always, I don't know, when I first started, I just wanted to play in a band, and like you said, like Mike said, to be able to create something, like a song, it's really cool. Now that we have it, like, recorded too, it's really cool. So
it's exciting.
Something we can look back on, you know, in the future, whether or not we make it or not, we'll see. I just like playing music.
After writing and recording, where do you find inspiration for any new songs and possibly creating some new sounds in the future?
Well, I don't contribute much to writing songs.
Yep, so I contribute much to you. We all listen to different bands too, right? Like, mm-hmm. I guess we have the same core that we listen to, but trying to find, like, you listen, you get good ideas from other bands. Like, I don't know, it's hard to get creative sometimes. I get in a block. I try to always push it. I always try to write my next song to be like a better song than the last one I wrote. So that's really tough. Yeah, I guess it just comes.
What was your favorite song to record?
Signals, I guess, for sure. It's pretty upbeat. It's a really good track to listen to and get motivated to. And we had a very fun time creating different solos.
Yeah, that's probably mine. My favorite too. It was a lot of fun. That and the new song, which doesn't have a name yet.
The no-name song.
But yeah, both those songs were really fun. All of it was obviously fun, but Signals is definitely probably one of my favorites on the record. It stands out. We have a musical interlude just before it, and so it really brings it out there. It's really
cool. Sets the tone for the rest of it?
Yeah. We'll be right back.
expect from this album?
I don't know, just a good, hard, driving rock.
Melodic, accessible.
Yeah, catchy.
With a lot of guitars and, I guess, catchy. Yeah.
I'm not denying it's not pop. I'm just saying, it's not like Newfound Glory of Blink-182. It's more along the lines of, I don't know, I've heard some people say Rise Against. Not as hardcore as them, though.
No, I don't know.
Not that.
I've heard Face to Face.
Yeah,
you should just go drink now. Get started.
What bands influence you guys? What bands have you drawn a love from their music into your music?
I don't know, I think Tom and I really grew, well, through high school, that's where our bassist kind of started with Blink-182 and seeing Sum 41 kind of arise from Ontario and kind of how they began to become a band is pretty interesting, got you really motivated.
I see a lot of shows as well, and I see a lot of like bands that play shows, so whenever I see a really good show, band, like one of my favorite bands put on a really good show, I always try to, I want to have lots of energy, so that's what I try to catch, I guess, lots of energy. Like Take Back Sunday, one of my favorites, put on a lot of energy. Like I said, I saw Blink way back in the day, and they were really wicked to see, so I don't know. A good show up. People, you pay money to go see a show. You should perform. Don't just stand there and stare at your shoes.
But I love Attack in Black. Attack in Black, very good. Attack very cool. So,
yeah. Some of them are amazing.
Yeah, I've seen them like 4 times, so I hope they hear this.
Big ups to Attack in Black.
Yeah.
First time I heard their name, I thought they were like a hardcore band because they're opening for like Sun Fire, and then I was blown away. They're so good.
What's your favorite Attack in Black song?
I don't know. It's a really cool album because it's about like marriage, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And like the whole thing, like, yeah, I don't know.
I love Broken Things. That's Broken Probably. Things is one of my favorite,
oh,
I think.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you plan to do any acoustic work like what they did with The Curve of the Earth?
I don't know.
Well, we've played acoustic sets in the past. I don't know if we could convert any of those songs to acoustic and kind of make it mellow and also. Mm-hmm.
Most of the songs are written on acoustic guitar in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So. And then you just bring them to practice, and then we go from there, and then it usually turns into an hour song.
Have you ever recorded any of your songs live from when you've been playing on stage?
We record, like, video and stuff. We played at our friend's house party, and we recorded that live. It was pretty fun. There's a lot of people there. It was pretty good.
What do you think is a definite problem with today's music trends?
The way people look. They try to look up.
What's that? I think not enough public interest in local live music. I think that's the main problem. It's like major label. Everyone's like listening to major label music and not coming out to shows like this. But I know, granted, a lot of bands suck, but still try to like help out and just because I think it's more of like it's a community. It's not just the bands that play music. It's people that come to shows, the people that like do stuff on the periphery that like help with art on CDs and like make the posters and promote shows and like make venues. It's like lots and lots of people, and so it's not just the guys on stage and the community. I think that there needs to be more of that, especially in Calgary. Yeah, it's like more support for this.
What are your thoughts on the current state of punk music today?
Pretty weak, I guess.
I don't know.
It's hard. Like the internet's kind of screwed it up too. A lot of indie labels are losing their bands. It's kind of hard. I don't know.
Is that how you feel about the state of the internet right now?
Yeah, but it's
at the same time your fans have instant access to your music.
I think it's changing. Music's changing, and there's more power for the people now because we have internet, and anyone can put up their music on MySpace, and anyone can talk to anyone else. And there's no more like major labels controlling everything. So I think that's a good thing, and I think we need to change with the times and not try to like do things the way they've been done before.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing at all. Like I think the internet's great. And it's like, it's inevitable, we're not going to be able to avoid it, and like CD stores are probably going to be depleting soon. But at the same time, it's just everybody's trying to like do something. It's like Blink-182 comes out, and then everybody wants to be Blink-182, and then like that's just all being too polished. A lot of music being too polished, you don't really find like good old school punk rock anymore.
Do all of your mistakes.
That was The Hours out of Calgary, Alberta, with Nightlife.
When you're on tour and you talk about being on the road, what is it like? What keeps you guys sane?
I drink a lot and do stupid things because it's fun.
Yeah.
I don't know, playing babysitter, but kind of just keeping things calm and under control.
Are you the dad of the band?
I wouldn't say that. I guess so. Yeah.
Older brother?
The other brother. Like, I still let them do ridiculous things, but, you know, within context, and, you know, still trying to get them shows on time and, you know, so they're performing at their ability.
When you come home from being on the tour, what's the first thing you guys like to do?
Chicken.
Lots of fried chicken.
Me, just, like, lay horizontal on my couch and we just catch up on sleep. Because I'm usually the one driving, so it's just
shower.
You always feel
dirty after, because there's nowhere to shower. I always think about using other people's showers too.
Have there been any places that you've always wanted to see while you've been on tour? Any places that you've always wanted to check out and see what it'd be like?
We've only toured, like, let's say central Alberta.
Yeah.
And Edmonton, of course, but there's lots of places we haven't been in or looking for to play.
Yeah.
Where would you like to play in the future once this set takes off?
Japan.
Japan would be amazing.
Germany.
Yeah, Switzerland.
Sure.
No, they're boring.
They're boring.
So no Swiss people are watching and listening to this.
Do you have any plans to start touring once the album drops?
Probably not right away. Just push it here first. Hopefully get some attention. Maybe, I don't know.
End of April,
yeah.
2009?
Yeah. Try to do something. Mike's going back to school, so.
School,
yeah.
Have you learned things from any of the bands that you've toured with, or been on stage with?
One thing I learned from, like, the more experienced guys that play music is, like, playing live music, you can't expect things to be pristine. You can't play, like, you play the best show possible, but I used to be really anal about making mistakes live and then beating myself up about it, but, like, even the guys that have been playing music, they're in, like, their mid-40s, they still make mistakes, and, like, it's unavoidable, and, like, you'll never sound like the CD, so I think it's more important just to go on stage and have a good time, and it's more about, like, how you say it than what you say, I think. That was a big lesson for me. Like, it was a good, it's a good thing to learn. Helped me relax a lot more when I play.
Do you feel that Calgary is going to get a lot better?
Well, I've seen improvement in the last year, so hopefully it keeps going this way, yeah.
I find it's getting more and more each year. It's
for sure.
Better and better.
Yeah, I think so.
We live in a city where there's a lot of money, a lot of oil money, a lot of SUVs. I don't really know where to draw inspiration from that.
Is there anything else that you'd like to accomplish with your career in being a musician?
Hopefully someday maybe be on the road. Just like I said, tour Canada, maybe get on a label. That'd be like the biggest thing, obviously. Hear our songs on the radio. That'd be amazing. That's what I'd like to accomplish. Baby steps, I guess.
What are your plans for the rest of this year?
Push this record.
Yeah. You guys work on getting it out there and then selling it with our words and with our music as well. So
promoting it, everything, just promote it. Push. Push really hard. The big thing till the end of the year, probably.
Is your album going to be available to be released on iTunes or off your website?
Yeah, I'm going to try to get it onto iTunes. I've already got it lined up, so it'll be in a couple of record stores in Calgary. Hopefully we'll try to make it as easy accessible as possible. So iTunes would be really good for that.
Do you want to throw out your MySpace and your website out for your fans?
MySpace.com/TheHoursCA. All one word. Or we are on Facebook as well. We don't really have a website yet, but we're working on it. So definitely check us out on MySpace. Our songs will be up soon. New songs.
Yeah. What is your mantra to live by as The Hours?
Be good to anybody that comes across and helps us out, really. There's a lot of people that, like Najeeb said earlier, with the community, a lot of people that help us out. Be good to them. We get on stage, 100%, no matter if there's 5 people or 500 people. Just play because we love to play music.
Anything else you guys would like to add for your interview?
Eat lots of chicken.
Lots of chicken. Take a shower.
Hysteria.
And that about wraps up another volume of The Grind on Punk Radio Cast. That one was number 25, another Calgary focus by Stacey Steele. Around this time of the show, I always tell you, go to myspace.com/burnside780. That is The Grind's MySpace page, and you can see all the brand new stuff that we have coming at you. I'm talking about interviews. I'm talking about video that I've kind of been a little bit lazy on. I guess lazy is not really the right word. I just can't find enough hours in the day still. But I am still super stoked on all the stuff we have. Of course, we have Wilhelm Scream, Living with Lions, some Classwork Kids, all live performance video, as well as the interview, some interview stuff that went along with that. Some brand new stuff that we do have coming up is we talked to Lagwagon and a band called Tat out of London a little bit ago. That's going to be the next show. Not too sure when that's going to air, but stay tuned to the MySpace page of The Grind or even punkradiocast.com, and you can find that out. What else do we have coming up? The Real McKenzies, really good stuff with that. A whole bunch of live footage with that as well. And Stacy has been as busy as I have, and she caught up with Just Insane with Anti-Flag when they played Calgary, and also talked to Creepshow, The Creepshow, that's right. Good old Punk Radio Cast friends, The Creepshow. And what else? Colin Decker, Free Fall, a whole bunch of stuff. We've got Cancer Bats, Johnny Truitt. You know we're never going to stop because it's an endless grind on The Grind. PunkRadioCast.com. This is one more track by The Hours. This is You Know I Know. Don't move too fast.